All right, everyone, welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing. I am Dan Canobio. He's the champ, Chris Algieri. We are presented by PPV.com. Got some big fight news next week when it comes to PPV.com coming into your living rooms, your phones, your tablets. That's the beauty of PPV.com. You can stream it anywhere. No subscriptions. Live interactive chat on fight night that Chris and I have populated at times. We have been in there talking everything. Nothing is off limits in the PPV.com live interactive chat. So big news coming next week with PPV.com. So follow along on their socials. They do a good job, and they've been our proud presenting sponsors for several years now. In addition to our partnership with Uncrowned Combat, thank everyone for the lovely news. What do we call it? A lovely words.
A lot of congratulations. A lot of, you know, praise.
I like praise a lot. Yeah, it was a good one episode in the books under our belt with Uncrowned, so that's been great. New era has begun. Inside Boxing, I got it right. Chris is coming
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud you didn't say live. Now, we are alive, but we are not live. We are alive.
But live to tape, we are alive. We are breathing.
Alive.
Chris is coming to us from Arlington, Texas.
Ran into Derek James not too long ago. Was chatting with him a little bit. Might go check out his gym at some point. But Arlington, Texas. I love Texas. Texas is great. We have a Pro Box TV fight card tomorrow night. Bangers, as always. 50-50 all action fights. You know the deal.
I'm heading up to Verona, Turning Stone.
Oh, on this time of Friday. Year, it's really nice. Really nice.
Oh, God. I'm just happy to get out of my Long Island. I'm calling this Manny Pacquiao Promotions card. It's got a Carmel Moton on it. Carmel Moton. I keep saying his name wrong. Carmel Moton. It's got Pacquiao's son, I think, is off the card. Yeah, I think he got hurt. Elijah Pierce, who you called on he's overtime boxing.
Elijah Pierce is tough, man.
He's top five in the WBO.
He is a heart attack kid, man. He just cardiac kid, I should say, because he fights. He'll get dropped. He'll get up. He'll knock you out. Like, he's a lot of fun.
I was watching one of his fights. I think it's his last fight against Dasparinas. You were on the call. Were you on the call for that?
Not his last fight, but I've been on several.
You were on the call for Para's fight, his opponent.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Lorenzo Para. But yeah, yes, it should be a fun night. Manny Pacquiao Promotions. Put the suit on. Problem with the pants, bro. Suit pants aren't fitting me anymore. I don't know. I've put on some pounds, bro.
Dude, I mean, you were in the eights, man. The one eights.
Still in the one eights. Still in the one eights.
It's not a great time to lose weight in New York winter. So, but spring's ahead. It's coming, dude. It's time to trim
out.
I put the
jacket on too. This is a nice suit that I bought in July for the Pacquiao Barrios fight. The suit doesn't fit anymore either in the shoulder area because those are gains though. Look at that.
Right.
Gains.
That's a positive.
The pants not fitting around the waist, very, very disheartening and kind of frustrating because do I have to buy new suits now? Like, these are expensive suits.
Yeah, when I was a late stage teenager, I was training people, training, you know, normies. And I had a guy and he was a well to do businessman type guy, getting him in shape. And then one day he goes, "Hey, what's your suit jacket?" And I'm like, "I'm like a 38. He comes in, and he brings me five total suits and goes, "It's your fault I don't fit in these anymore because my shoulders got so much bigger. So you can have them."
There you go.
I'm talking Boss, Armani. This guy came in and just rolled out five full suits. So I rocked that for the first number of years before I made any money.
I need to make some changes. Some changes. The changes will be made.
I need to make some changes.
Still got some times. I still got time. I want to be like where I'm at. I want to lose 5-7. I want to be svelte for the summer. So we got plenty of time.
You're young enough. You can pull it back.
Hell yeah.
You can right the ship.
Yeah, if I'm able to bulk.
You get those good Canobio jeans. You know, you can.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's get into the news, man. Jeez, boxing world is flipped upside down yet again. Another day, another lawsuit. Frank Warren's Queensberry Promotions are suing Sella, TKO, Zuffa, which in turn is Dana White, Turki Alsheikh, and that whole regime. According to a report from The Telegraph, Queensberry Promotions boss Frank Warren is preparing a lawsuit around the partnership between Saudi Arabia's Sella and the TKO group with Zuffa Boxing and their exclusion of Queensberry from – the making of Zuffa. As you know, Saudi Arabia and Queensberry have done many shows together, none since November of last year. In this proposed $1 billion lawsuit, it says that Sela and TKO both breached contracts. They had signed with Warren, and their company was formed without them being involved. So Zuffa was formed without Queensberry being involved. You're probably thinking, why would Queensberry be involved in Zuffa? That's because in 2023, they signed an agreement with Sela to provide boxing services for the shows, giving Sela access to how they operate and build the shows from the ground up. They gave them everything. Queensberry contends that the information and data that was privileged, and the group subsequently left Queensberry out, breaching their respective agreements. Got that all, Chris? You got that?
I do.
Are we lawyers now?
No.
Are we litigation guys?
We're not. And we're not going to be held liable for anything we say here. This is our take on it. That's preface.
That's very, very clear. Very clear. Thank you for saying
it. Very clear. We are not lawyers. I almost went to medical school. That is nowhere near passing the bar. So we're not.
Stayed at a Holiday Inn last night.
I'm at a comfort suites right now. So we're both on the same page here. But in terms of, you know, talking about what's going on with this lawsuit, for me, from looking from the outside in, taking this as purely non-legal thing, this looks to me like the farmer who lets the wolf in sheep's clothing into the roost. And then when the wolf does what wolves do, you're like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you eating all my hens? Well, because I'm a wolf, dude, and you let me in. And it was fun for a little bit, but this is what I do. Or, and my esteemed colleague, Paul Malignaggi, used the metaphor that is a Trojan horse, probably a better one, because it's a gift. You know, they're giving so much money to Frank Warren, to Matchroom, to Golden Boy for, you know, Turkey and the Riyadh shows, and they're getting their fighters all paid. But you're giving them access to the books. You're getting them access to the contracts. You're giving them access to the interworkings of the business so then they can just take that and go on and do what they're going to do. And apparently, from what it seems like, that you were supposed to take on those other entities with you, but it seems like they started a whole other thing. The Dana White thing was really when everyone went, wait a second. That was the big first shift. When Dana White came in and they're like, whoa, you're not using any of the boxing promoters that you've been working with? That's when all those guys really got their red alerts on. We're like, whoa, maybe this guy is the Trojan horse. Maybe this is the wolf in the hen house kind of thing. And now you got a guy like Frank Warren, who does not like to take things laying down, looking at this like, all right, well, I'm gonna hit him where it hurts. And I'm gonna attack with lawsuits. I'd be interested to see if the other promotions do that as well. The other guys that have been in bed with Turkey leading up to this, the Matchrooms, the Golden Boys. Or this is another thought that I've had, which, again, guys, is solar opinion. Is Frank Warren looking at this like, it's $1 billion. it's a big lawsuit. Does he really have grounds? You know, is this real or is this a settlement to get out? Maybe they're already in. Maybe, you know, the siege is already upon us. The tide has already broken through the wall. I'm not going to beat him. Let me get some money and get the hell out of here. And go off into the sunset and let these guys take over because they're already in. That's, you know, have they breached the wall?
I loved everything you said there. It was very, very astute dealings. It's the first shot back from the boxing establishment.
The old guard.
We're not going to take this sitting down. We're going to fight back. It's also a little embarrassing, or it's just shocking to me. Not the part where they worked side by side, because anyone would have done the same thing. Like, all these guys bent over, and Eddie holding hands, Frank holding hands, Eddie saying, I did this because it made my fighters wealthy.
Money, yep.
Also made me wealthy. I have no problem shining Turkey's shoes. He literally said that as a quote from Eddie
for me.
Hearn.
He said it.
Not me. He said it. But the part that I'm just like, wow, is this how it works? Because we've never seen lawsuits like this. Every day we're seeing new news in boxing that we've never seen before, never cared to know about. The data part. How much did Queensberry, what did Sela pay Queensberry to, in order to get the data to see how they're operating? And also Zuffa. So Queensberry is giving Zuffa the keys to, and Sela the keys to everything. Like, hey, take a look at everything, which obviously comes at a price. And when you're the seller, you have an unlimited budget. And then in turn, they get screwed. In turn, they they go with that information, because Queensberry is a very profitable enterprise, as you can see by the community notes that we'll get to in a second. They did turn a profit last year. Frank Warren is a stone cold gangster. Did get shot in the head. Does not take stuff lying down. They are a well run promotion. So they've made money. They know what they're doing. So when you allow a seller, you allow Zuffa to come in and get full reign of everything to see, why? How does a boxing promotion work? Like, if you're Frank, you had to understand, like, okay, this could potentially come back to bite me in the ass. But maybe the writing is on the wall. And maybe I could see, like, one day this is going to be used against us. Didn't think it would happen this fast. I'm saying that from my standpoint. I don't know how what Frank is thinking. But it's happening so fast, Chris. Like, this is a crazy lawsuit. And Zuffa is moving so quick with the signings and the TV deals, and now they're getting sued. So there will be a settlement, like you said, or there'll be some type of more litigation, more details being thrown out there for us at home and the public to sift through. Crazy times. But that part with the data is just, that's new to me, because this is all new to me.
Just like in politics and the world stage, in boxing, nothing is ever as it seems. And there's a million different ways that things can go. And I'm curious to think, I have a couple different theories about how this all came about. One, which is probably the way it's going. It's Occam's razor in terms of, yeah, whatever makes the most sense is probably what it is. So you're seeing more and more the boxing promoters, they've gotten lazy. They've gotten too complacent. You see Golden Boy's lapse in his contract with DAZN, which allows Virgil Ortiz's side to invoke a breach of contract. That's a bookkeeping thing. That shouldn't happen for a big company. You're seeing Queensberry, who is, maybe they have a contract where this is legitimate and they have a real stake in this, but you're allowing a potential oppositional force to see how you operate. It's like inviting someone to your home, showing them how all the security works, and then when they attack you, you go, "Oh, what the hell?" It just seems amateurish, which is so strange to think about because these guys have been around for so long. And when I think of boxing promoters, I think of really smart guys with really ironclad contracts. And maybe I'm just saying that because I'm a fighter and I'm stupid and I'm not a lawyer. But like,
you're not stupid, just, Chris. You're not stupid.
It just seems like these guys are not crossing the T's and dotting the I's. And someone with a better lawyer walked in and goes, "Oh, these guys are way, way under us. They're out of their league, and they're eating them up." And it's a strange time.
What did Dana say about boxing all the time in the last 5, 6, 7 years? It's a going out of business sale. And every boxing event is, how can the promoters take the most amount of money from the product and not reinvest it? Smash and grab. So this was another smash and grab. If everything is what they're saying is, hey, we're gonna, like, hey, Cello, we will pay a hefty fee to come in and see how your complete operation works. And Queensberry is like, here's the number. And then they're, oh wow, yeah, come on in. Here's our passwords, you know, to eat our food. and then that's a smash and grab. That's another smash and grab. And then they turn around and Zuffa takes that information and Cello takes that information. And now they're starting their own enterprise.
Yeah, exactly. It's mind boggling to think, like, any corporation, like, this is a hostile takeover of a corporation. It's exactly what it is. And for these guys not to understand that this is a legitimate, that's what I'm saying. Like, these guys got complacent. They thought they were too big. They're too high on the hog. Oh, these guys can't come in here and do that. Oh, they're talking about this. They can't do that. We run this. We run this ship. There's no way they're taking over. Oh, guess what? It's like Coca-Cola giving the recipe out. You know, it's like, it's a secret for a reason, guys. And you gave out the secret. And now you got to contend with that. And some people go to court for that. You know, Frank Warren's one of them. I'm curious to see if the other wasn't going to follow suit.
Look at the terminology, Chris, they're threatening to sue. They haven't done it yet.
Okay, I'm glad you did the reading, because I can't.
Just said threatening to sue. Like, I will take this to the high court. He's prepared to take it to the high court.
All right, so that to me says he wants a payout.
I mean, if everything is true.
Many times. that's how it always goes. Cease and desist. We're threatening this. How much money do I want? How much money can you give? that looks
and
like
they probably thing. I don't know. I'm about to speculate on where they it could go. Another thing, what did Turkey say around this time last year when the formation of TKO Zuffa was made?
We're gonna crush everyone.
We're gonna crush everyone. We're gonna eat everyone. Everyone's just went over at people's heads. I mean, yeah, we talked about it.
That fell on deaf ears. Like,
it just felt like it was all right. Turkey talking about like he wants to make the best fights, and we're gonna crush everyone. It was talking about the Warrens, the Hearns, the Oscars, the Ben Shaloms, the MVPs, everyone, the establishment of we're gonna crush you guys. And it took a year to the point now where we have giants like Queensberry, you know, suing Sella, and it's and Ring issued a statement. I don't know why Ring is getting in the middle of this. It's been community noted. Chris, you know what a community note is?
I don't.
So Twitter.
That's above my pay grade, bud.
Yeah, no, it's pretty simple. When Elon Musk got his hands on Twitter, he allowed for community notes to come in. And basically, it's a fact check.
Ah, like
so if you tweet out something egregious, you tweet out something false, you tweet out something insane, if enough people report it, it will get fact-checked by either AI or fact-checked by someone at Twitter. This Ring statement got community noted because it was a really long statement. It was just strange. It felt like it came right from the fingers and the hands of Turkey. I don't know why Ring Magazine is getting involved in something like this. I do know why. It's because Turkey owns Ring Magazine and they're using it as a propaganda arm in order to tell their side of the story. The comments.
And control the narrative.
Control the narrative. The comment, the boxing fans, which I've always said, you cannot fool boxing fans, Chris. You can't fool us. You can't. The comments did not disappoint. And it gets community checked because they claim that Dubois Wardley is suffering at the gate, so they had to come out with this to create some type of buzz. Also, Queensberry Promotions is in terrible standing. So, community notes said Queensberry Promotions posted a $15 million profit for the tax year up to end of March 2025. Tickets for Wardley versus Dubois aren't on sale yet.
Bam.
So, okay. Lines are being drawn in the sand here. So you got
Turkey's side. That's the question. Like they really thought we were on the same side. No.
Right. You were never on the same side.
You were never on the same side.
I kind of didn't realize that they hadn't done a show together since 2023.
That was the head to head, wasn't it? That was the Frank Warren. That was the Queensberry versus Matchroom card.
Was it? Might have been. I know their first show was Tyson Fury and Ngannou, and then they did 5-on-5s. They did straight up Queensberry Promotion events, and from what I saw, like there was a great partnership. I mean, there were great events, and they're holding hands.
Really good fights.
But deep down inside, Frank must have known. Like, yeah, I did give him the password. Yeah. They're looking at everything.
That's one of those. You wake up in the middle of the night. Like, I probably shouldn't have given her my password. It'll be okay. And then you wake up the next morning.
Gave her my phone.
Then you wake up the next day and there's just all the tweets of all your conversations with, you know, the girl and the girls, and then you're in trouble.
Yeah, a lot of that. There has been intensified. Wait, Queensberry have not been promoting any Riyadh season fights since the last November, and there are no plans for the two sides to work together in the future. Obviously. What I want to see next, though, is Queensberry going to continue putting on fights on DAZN, because as we know, DAZN 10% of it is owned by Sella Turkey Group and them.
Is 10% enough to move the needle that much? Probably not. So
probably not, because you got to figure DAZN, the powers that be at DAZN are like, hey, we need content. This DAZN ultimate plan that we're pushing on our fight fans, $400-$500.
Yeah, they're rocking and rolling. They just signed a five-year deal with Matchroom. They want to keep the UK market. Warren is one of the major promoters in the UK, so yeah, I don't think that's going to affect them. But I mean, who knows? That would be a real shame, because you know Frank does have some good fighters and puts.
Yeah,
on
that
shows.
Would suck for boxing fans who don't want to get caught up in this. I mean, it's good fodder for the hardcores, and you know, this did make major headlines leading off of our show, and it's all over the place in the UK. And I wonder if what Hearn is. Hearn's reaction to it going to be as he gets interviewed, probably as we speak, he's getting interviewed somewhere. Is Hearn going to link back up with Warren, are they going to be holding hands?
Oh, man.
Are they going to be a coalition of Eddie, Frank, Oscar, Nikita?
This is the movie Independence Day. I'm going throwback. What was that? 1998? Something like that?
Damn, you're on your analogy kick today.
Independence Day, right?
Great movie.
You had the overlord aliens come in, and they have their motherships over all the major cities. Whoa, we got the U.S., we got China, we got Russia, we got Cuba. We're all working together right now. That's what we're seeing right now with Frank and Eddie and Oscar. Are these guys all going to come together? Is MVP going to come up and be one of the major boxing promotions? I think actually MVP's in a really good spot. They're in a really good spot because...
How do you figure?
They're going to be allowed into the room with the old guard. They're jumping the line, yeah. Right? That's a big deal. And there's a big market share there. And they were super smart in taking up all the female fighters, all the top female.
Oh, yeah. I think they're in a good spot.
Super smart. Super smart to do that. But also, I think because of the timing, that they're going to get scooped up with the old guard. And they're going to be thought of as one of the big major promotions. Not to say that they're not, but they're not there yet. They haven't done the major shows that we've done over the years and decades with all these other guys. But they're going to get scooped right up and go right into that. The good thing is that their promotional arm is so good. And their show quality is excellent, that it's going to be seamless. So timing-wise, Jake Paul, once again, is in the right spot at the right spot at the right time.
Yeah, and then the big thing to come out of this, too, is the fact that Tyson Fury, when he fights Makhmudov on Netflix, will not have Queensberry involved in it. I don't even remember this last week or 2 weeks ago, kind of flew under the radar, too. It's like they announced the Fury comeback, Netflix versus Makhmudov, and Frank Warren goes, I had no clue this was happening.
Yikes.
Dude, Frank Warren and Tyson Fury have been together for years. That's arguably his biggest client, or his biggest fighter. It's like it's what AJ is to Hearn and vice versa for Queensberry. So that led me, you know, peel back the onion a little bit and let you see that, you know, Zuffa and Sella are spearheading the Fury Makhmudov card. They're paying Conor Benn $15 million. And this isn't speculation. This is Mark Shapiro of TKO Group saying, no, Turki Alışık is footing that bill for Conor Benn, the $15 million. Conor Benn is fighting Regis Progre. Conor Benn versus Regis Progre. $15 million co-main event.
Yeah, that's a steal. The biggest deal have we seen in a long time. Maybe the biggest deal. I mean, that's crazy. But, I mean, Conor Benn's and their team have not changed the script. They're fighting another 37-year-old, fighting in an outside-of-the-way class, who hasn't been very busy, just like when he fought me, you know, 7 years ago or 6 years ago, whatever that was. Yeah, Progre, and they're fighting at 150, by the way. Also, he's only got 6 weeks' notice. Gave me 5 weeks' notice. So it's the same recipe. Get an older former champion, have him come up and wait. Don't give him too much time to train. Pay him a lot.
Yeah, but
of money.
Eddie was the mastermind behind that.
Maybe he wasn't. Seems like maybe he wasn't. Maybe that's just the script that these guys have been rolling out. But listen, it's working. He's getting paid. You know, obviously it worked out when he fought me. He got the result and some. Got paid well, but now he's getting paid crazy money. And he's got to go out there and at least do the same thing again. But you're fighting a guy who's 37 years old. Is 1-2 in his last three fights, has not been very active, has never fought above 142. The fight's at 150. Who has been dropped, I think, I mean, in his last however many fights, Haney dropped him, Catterall dropped him twice. Life and death with Jojo Diaz, who was on life support on our air, who lost to a journeyman on our air in Pro Box. Yeah, it's a lot of things. And on top of that, listen, the fight being made is one thing. You're coming back down in weight off the middleweight fight. That's one thing. The $15 million co-main with Tyson Fury Makhmudov, that's the real boot to your face where you're like, what are we doing?
Well, it's a statement. That's what it is. Conor Benn fighting on that card is a statement. Tyson Fury and Conor Benn fighting in a UK stadium without Queensberry and Matchroom involved, and Zuffa involved, is a statement. That's what this is. $15 million is what it takes to grab Conor Benn and put him on the undercard of a Tyson Fury fight in a stadium, which will have a lot of eyeballs. No Eddie, no Frank Warren, Dana White front and center, Turki front and center, Zuffa front and center. That's what this is.
Yeah, but
it's
Dan,
$15 million for that. That's if you think about it from a business standpoint, that it's it makes sense.
Isn't it also the statement that you are going to consume whatever we put in front of you? That is the whole problem of this whole
thing. Boxing has always been like that.
You are going to consume whatever we put in front of you, and you're gonna eat it up, and you're gonna love it.
Yeah, but boxing's always been like that. Like we'll watch everything. We get boxing fans have been mistreated for years.
Definitely gonna watch it, especially on Netflix. But like, it's just it's you had so many people talking about this $15 million deal, this 8-figure deal, and you're like, oh, he's gotta fight Ryan, he's gotta fight Shakur, and then you pull up Prograde. Hey, listen, good for Prograde, good for you, champ. Get that
yeah,
money.
Good for both of them. I mean, like yeah, you said, absolutely. Like you guys have a finite amount of years to make money.
100%. Both of you
doesn't
guys,
mean we
great
can't
job.
Be like,
listen,
whoa.
I'm not knocking. I never knock fighters making money. I don't care who the fighter is. You're making money. Good for you. You're maximizing your opportunity, a very small window. Ben is obviously doing that. Prograde is getting an opportunity to cash in on some of that. That's great. But in terms of what the fans want, this is so against what the whole ideal was supposed to be. The best fighting the best, the toughest, no easy fights coming. Not saying it's an easy fight, but like it kind of is. But like there's no, you know, we're going to have head-to-head 50-50 type matchups. You got to earn your spot. There's not a lot of earning going on in this one.
No, this is, like I said, this is like a business move. Conor yep. Ben, right place at the right time. Keith Connolly, his manager, just secured manager of the decade.
Yep.
$15 million for a co-main event.
Non-title fight, non-champion. Fighting a much smaller former champion.
Easy touch in Prograde. I did not like what I saw when Prograde fought Jojo Diaz. That was a punch drunk type of fight from both guys. You know, Prograde, this is insanity. Like when Zuffa announced Ben signing, when I looked at Twitter, my first reaction was, this is fake.
Yeah.
When I woke up this morning,
I thought this was faker.
And then I opened my phone and I see Conor Ben versus Prograde. I'm like, okay, that's fake. Let me go try to find who Ben is really fighting. No, he's fighting Regis Prograde. So, I mean, it's great work if you can get it. But I truly believe that this is a statement. This is more than just, hey, we're signing Conor Ben, who, sorry guys, is a name in boxing. I understand you can look at his name versus his accolades and his skills. He is one of the biggest names in the sport, and he has been for the last 3 years. Big fights with Chris Eubank, drug suspensions. He's been in the headlines for the last 3 years, good, bad, and ugly. And as
shows
we know,
up in this, everything, too.
As we know in this sport, if you elicit a reaction, if it's good or bad, you're going to make money in this sport. So I understand there's a lot of people
criticizing. It also helps when you have a last name of a legendary champion.
Dude, he's like me in a lab, like when it comes to right.
He's completely constructed.
Interest.
He's a constructed interest. He's
bro,
a project.
He's a lineage.
This is why Eddie is so butthurt. He built this guy. He did all that. He did all that work, all that groundwork.
Heavy.
Went to bat for him heavy on the drug thing. If it wasn't for the drug thing, I wouldn't even bat an eye. I'd be like, listen, dude, you got an 8-figure payday, do what you got to do. You know, like, he don't have to call you. It is what it is. Your contract's over. The drug thing, the how much Eddie went to bat for that's the only thing that gives me any kind of pause where I'm like, yeah, you probably could have talked to him, gave him a phone call, and worked out. You know, hey, this is I'm gonna go this way. It's life changing money. I gotta do it, bud. But even to that point, I'm always gonna side with the fighter to make the most money they can. But yeah, it's shady movement, no question.
Mannix said that there were some reports like, oh, they have upside on a pay per view. They have this is talking about Zuffa. They have options on Ben. No options, according to Mannix. He said, this is a one fight, $15 million deal, and then he becomes a free agent once again. Then we do this dance all over again. But what we've seen now is that, you know, Turkey and Sella are going to funnel their money towards Zuffa. They're obviously not funneling it towards Queensberry, obviously not funneling it towards Matchroom. They're now signing guys. They're cutting out promoters.
Obviously.
Cutting out promoters. Obviously. I mean, we're not, but I'm saying we're seeing it now in broad daylight. Like we know, we speculated on this for a year now, but now we see the plan.
That was my point about saying as soon as they brought in Dana, every one of those guys should have went, uh-oh.
They did.
Yeah. But like,
they fought a little bit.
They should have fought a lot harder because
Eddie put up some interviews and talked a lot of trash. And then a week later, he's in tears.
Yeah. I mean, again, they showed you what they were going to do and you let them do it. Like it just
because they all profited off of it.
Yeah, well,
dude, we work in media. Like, this sport is so cutthroat, from the boxing dealing straight up to how the media is run. Like, you have to take anything you get.
The media to each other, the media to us is cutthroat. Like, people don't understand how awful this business is. I say it all the time. Best sport in the world, worst business. And it's bottom to top, top to bottom, awful business. Can't trust anybody. Everybody's out to get you. Everybody's out to step on your skull to get forward. And that's just the way it is. It's dog eat dog. It's like that in gyms. It's not anything different. It's like that in every stage of this sport. It is a competitive, ruthless business from every aspect.
But I don't think Queensbury is just going to like...
They're not going to go out with a whimper. No way. No one is.
That's the part where I'm like, all right, I don't have a crystal ball and I can't see fully. Like, if they're just poaching guys now, like if Tyson Fury can just turn his back on Queensbury, which is not really even being like, it's not even a story. It's like, will Warren be at that event? Like, is Queensbury involved with Tyson Fury at all? Because from what we've seen, it's just like, no, like Zuffa is, you know, Turkey's paying Fury. It's on Netflix. And there we go. So it's like, I don't have a crystal ball to fully see if Queensbury and Matchroom and MVP and Golden Boy, are they going to be okay? Or is this going to be like happen a lot quicker? You know what I mean? Like, is Zuffa going to scoop up Shakur next, or Teofimo, or Usyk, or just go down the list and use this same game plan? Like, hey, we're giving you, you know, X amount of money, short-term deal. We'll put you on Netflix. We'll put you on Paramount.
With the amount of money that they have allocated for each year, they could do a fight every trimester or every quarter where they have these kind of super fights.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Ring magazine fights, and get these one-offs with these guys and pull them in and, you know, do one fight deal, whatever, and you get paid an exorbitant amount of money. In terms of what they have, they can do that. The problem with that is, now you have shareholders and they need to make the money. There's a bottom line. This is a business. There is no such thing as endless money. So how long does this last? How long can they keep this up? How long until someone breaks into the books who's at the top and goes, you know what, guys, this ain't working out the way that we expected. This ain't working out the way that you pitched us. And we're going to pull it out. We're going to pull out, because that's how corporations work. This is capitalism. You gotta make money. There's a bottom line. These are companies that are used to making money. These are not passion projects. These are not just for fun. I know it's kind of seemed that way with Riyadh for a while with Turkey. It was kind of like a passion thing. It seemed like now you're in bed with big business. TKO and Zuffa and these guys, they're not here just to, you know, live a pipe dream of seeing your favorite fighters fight. They are a business. They need to make money.
Now that TKO's involved,
how long does that last?
Yeah, exactly. Now that TKO is involved, and now, you know, they can run like Nick Khan and TKO knows how to run.
Nick Khan's not there to lose money.
No, bro. Like, did you see how much profit UFC made last year and WWE?
They're it's killers. Insanity. Absolutely.
Now they want to add this third leg with Zuffa Boxing, and it does the point. That's the part that's confusing, though. It's because when this was first announced, the first thing we all talked about was, how the hell are they going to pay boxers the same amount of money that they're paying UFC guys? Because that's always the debate when it comes to MMA versus boxing. When you peel back, besides the in the ring or the competition, where boxers are always going to beat MMA guys. Well, the next thing was like, this will never work because boxers make more money than UFC guys. It's never gonna happen. But now we're seeing how it's happening. Is they are going to throw money at a band. They're going to throw money at some of these names. Just to make a splash, because you have to do that in boxing. They're following the same thing that PBC did, and they're following the same exact thing that Matchroom Sport did and DAZN did in 2018. And that's what they're doing right now. And they're going to make a big splash. But now the difference is that they have Sela and they have Turkey and they have a lot more funds. And then they're going to whittle it down to the league. And then before it's a full takeover, I mean, that's probably their plan. If they want, I mean, that's how they're talking. You listen to Mark Shapiro, who's a big time executive at TKO. It's like, we're very aggressive. Like, Zuffa is our next big thing and where all of our attention is going. You know, at UFC's kicking ass, WWE's kicking ass. Now we have these big, we're going to have four big events a year alongside 10 to 12 or 8 to 12 Apex events. And this is one of their big ones, too. This is considered one of their tent pole events, is the Fury return. And Conor Benn, I just did not think it was going to be Regis Prograis.
No one did.
like, I was shocked. Like what? Like, I thought, like, I didn't think it was going to be Shakur. Didn't think it was going to be Ryan. Didn't think it was going to be any of those guys, even though I think that is obviously, like, in the pipeline for Ben. Regis Prograin, that just came out of left field.
Especially, dude, how about on 6 weeks' notice and plus 10 pounds? How about that? Like,
you don't think he knew? Like, you don't think he was told, like, even if it was, like, last week, it's only 7 weeks' notice.
When I fought him, they told me on the sixth week. That's the first time they asked me, and I was like, no, I'm fighting at 140. And they just kept throwing money in, and then by the time camp started, it was 5 weeks out. So, yes, no, this is what these guys do.
How much is Regis getting?
They did this. Oh, boy, he's got to be. I mean, he has good management, and he's been very smart and in terms of making the money, so I'm sure they're going to understand what the pot is, and they're going to go for it. I mean, he's not going to make anywhere near $15 million, but he's not going to make anywhere near probably 10 or even 5, but still.
You think it's his biggest payday?
I would say so.
Besides, you know, Triller?
He's been paid well, but I mean, this is, if they're smart, they're going to go for the gusto on this. You give me 6 weeks' notice to fight 10 pounds up. Yeah, you better pay me, bro.
Yeah, it's hard to even understand where Ben goes after this. Definitely going to win. I mean, I think he can stop him. I think that's a big.
If he doesn't, if Ben does not stop Prograin, I think that's the worst case scenario for.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of this too. It's like, all right, let's put him on the co-main event of Tyson Fury's return. It's on regular Netflix. This is going to do crazy viewership in comparison to what we've seen from DAZN and other pay-per-views. Is it going to touch like the Joshua Jakes? No, but like this should do anywhere over 5 to 10, 15 million on Netflix, because this is like the first real UK Netflix show too, and it's Tyson Fury, who's a massive, massive name. So, all right, let's throw Ben on the undercard. He should have a spectacular knockout. And then we kind of get what we've wanted out of this, which is eyeballs, the narrative. Oh, my God, Dana White steals Eddie Hearn's prized possession. And now they're suing us. And now we're putting on big-time events and stadiums. That's what Zuffa wants.
Yeah, but
that's
what
we've seen in boxing over and over.
I know everyone, Maddox keeps saying it. Oh, it's a one fight deal. Do you think they're going to build this kid up and just let him go?
No, it's a Turkey. He's with Turkey for life. Like, just like Canelo is and a lot of these other guys. I mean, Turkey has his favorites, and TKO has identified guys that they feel can fight with them, whether it's part of bigger U.S. shows that are outside of the Apex or it's these international ones. I mean, and Ben is that guy. I know people hate him, but listen, he is a name.
When do we start looking at all these overlapping companies and shell corps that are on top of each other? And it's like, oh, he got signed to 2 Zuffa, but yeah, he's really with Ring, and Ring is part of Zuffa, and it's all these overlapping companies. If you really look at it, like, so when you're saying, oh, this big signing with Zuffa, it's like, is that really a big signing? It's a one fight deal. It's not really a deal. It's not really a signing. But when they do the roster, they have Conor Benn on the roster. Did you see that?
Is he on that big slot?
Yes, he is. That big slot with everybody on there. And everyone's listed the same thing, and they took everything out of it. You're just a number again. He's on there. So, like, you're signing this one fight deal, but you're also on the Zuffa roster. But you're a ring fighter, and you can do these ring fights, and you're making $50 million. Yeah, it's confusing on purpose. It's a smokescreen.
And do the fans really care, or do they just want to see good fights? I think a majority of fans are pissed because they're like, all right, Conor Benn, let's see what you got. Regis Prograin. No, once again, no offense to Regis Prograin, but
we're not being offensive to Regis Prograin. No. He's a very good champion.
Good dude, too. But, like, that's not what the fans asked for. That's not with, you know, it doesn't equal the pizzazz of the signing. It's not equaling the first fight.
And you can't get in everybody's face at the Ring Awards and at every fight in New York and then, you know, getting Shakur's face and you get in Hitchens' face and you get in Ryan's face and then you fight a guy that no one's even thought about for a year and a half. You know, it's just a guy who's not been in the media spotlight.
Yeah, it's wild. But going back to that Ring tweet that was just kind of crazy in terms of
that was going to get taken down so fast. I screenshotted it because, like, oh, there's no way this is going to stay up.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's pretty obvious what that was all about. And that goes to, like, a bigger discussion that we've been having here on the show and just in general, as the Ring magazine becomes more in focus. It's purchased by Turkey. It has become the main media outlet. They've poured a lot of money into refurbishing it and making it better and doing all that. They have a show now. And they also have their belt. And they have their rankings. And a big part of what Zuf is doing and a big part of TKO is doing is getting rid of the sanctioning bodies and keeping the ring belt as potentially the belt along with the Zuffa belt. But that's where issues come in. That's where the same issues
adding,
that are happening.
The BMF belt too. Don't forget that. We got to add the
BMF. Oh, if Max had his wish. I'd like to know Max thinks about this.
It'll happen, dude. It'll happen.
Is Max going to fire off something at Frank Warren? Because he did last week to Eddie. He said, Eddie needs to stop crying. We're taking over. Max said that.
We are taking over. Okay.
Wild. They're not even hiding it. So
Max must have got stock in this thing, huh?
That's what someone said on Twitter, like a very clever and like this dude on Twitter, Robert Joyner, I believe is his name. He's on top of everything. He's just a regular guy. Mm-hmm. And he tweeted, Max has to have equity in Zuffa. Even if it's like 0.5%, if they build it up
to what WWE is,
you're getting hundreds of millions. But anyway, the reason why I look at this ring statement and I get a little concerned is because, you know, they want this ring belt to be the main thing in boxing. They want it to, it has a lot more emphasis and a lot more importance. And then you take a look at the welterweight rankings that just got put out on 2 days ago or yesterday. We got Devin Haney and Brian Norman and Stanionis. Those top three haven't moved. But now Ryan Garcia is now four after beating Barrios, who was ranked eighth or ninth last week. Now, the part that's really questionable, and it's like, wait, I've seen this from the WBC, I've seen this from the IBF. Rolly Romero is now ranked fifth after not being in the rankings for weeks, months. Now he's fifth.
Now he's back in. He's back in the circle of trust.
Not just back in, but he's top five.
Yeah, so he'll be in a big fight soon.
But it doesn't, more at the big fights, more about like, these rankings don't mean anything yet right now. Like, they're cool to look at and like, they're fun, and I think it's easy for fans to follow along. But if these belts go away and the ring one becomes the most important belt, then they do mean a lot. You know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's...
Because I've been told that one can't fight... it's one versus two for the ring belt. So that's my biggest issue with them.
You're pretending these rules matter.
But that's the thing. Like, I have people from Ring Magazine tweeting at me saying, well, at least we're not like the other fans.
Until they are. They're going to bend the rules.
Telling me too. Dan, Ring's got this.
Tell them to write it down. Tell them to write it down.
But also, there are people that see what happened yesterday with that statement, and they're like, and then we see these rankings out, and I'm looking at these rankings, and I'm like, wait a second. Like, now Rollies goes from not ranked to fifth after not even fighting? He hasn't fought in a year.
There's been a problem with the rankings forever and every governing body, and a lot of them have all been kind of fake. The good thing was that we had multiple different organizations. This is actually the good part about having so many different belts, is that they all could fact check each other. Because if you would have a guy at three that no one else had, you're like, okay.
Right, well, who's this guy?
That guy doesn't belong. And that's where the Ring Magazine was actually good, because Ring Magazine was generally a congregate of all the other organizations. They're like, hey, that guy number three that is on no one, he's out, boom. And then they made a composite of what the actual top 10 should be. That's when the Ring Magazine rankings were good. Problem is now is they're trying to go completely against the grain of any of the other organizing bodies, and now it has literally just become arbitrary, and they're saying this is 1 through 10 based on what I think, whoever that guy is or that board or whatever is. So that's what the good thing about having the competition of different organizations are, is you can weed out the outliers, the ones that don't belong. And we don't have that anymore, because now we have literally it's going to be a totalitarian. This is how it is. I say it. This is what it is. This is how it goes.
Well,
like the UFC.
That's when the ring, it's a sad day.
That's the goal.
Yeah, I know, because the problem that I always, the one issue I have with the ring is that they can't mandate fights. So they obviously want the welterweight. It's a hot division. You got some of the biggest names. You got Ryan Garcia. You got Haney. You got Rolly. And the ring obviously wants their belt up on that stage and wants to be affiliated with those guys in this division. But according to their own rule set, it's only one versus two. So that means Devin Haney would have to fight Brian Norman again. But we know that's not happening. And then Stanione, like, and very rare, I've had someone, Adam Abramowitz, who I think works for the ring, is on the ring ranking board, tweeted at me and said, in very rare cases, one versus three has been allowed to determine the Ring Magazine championship. Even that would be Devin Haney versus Stanionis. Do you think that fight is happening anytime soon?
I love how these guys stick to rules for the ring, which is literally a made up thing. It's not. It has no teeth. It's not a real. It's not. I'm not offending it. It's just not.
I love the idea of it, though.
Of course. We always did. The ring was always an important thing, but it's not a real belt. It doesn't have any teeth. It's not a governing body. You don't. There's no sanctioning fee. It doesn't have employees. Like, you're not paying. Like, it's all these different things. Like, and but also the companies that were actually governing bodies make things like Manny Pacquiao being able to fight for a world title after 4.5 years off. Ryan Garcia being coming off of 2 losses, never going to fight a welterweight, going to a fight. Conor Benn coming back into the rankings, never having a legitimate top 10 win or top 15 win in a weight class and stepping into number one position. It's not going to be any different. This whole idea is we got to get rid of these things because they're so bad. They do all these different things. They're going to get in control and do the exact same thing. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Simple. It's as old as time.
All right. Let's move on to real boxing, Chris. This is a boxing show.
Yeah, we talk about way too much legal stuff and
no, but it is. It's dude, we've been saying this for a while that we're in the most interesting time, I think, maybe ever, because the sport is being rewritten right before our eyes. Like, everything is changing and it's happening fast. It's happening so fast that I can't even keep track of it. Frank Warren versus Sulla versus Dana versus Eddie. Can we all just get along?
No, not in this sport. Cutthroat. None of this works, Dan. None of this works.
Cutthroat. Big fight this weekend, 130 pounds. It is a unification bout. Emmanuel Navarrete versus Eduardo Sugar Nunes. I don't see how this is not an all-out war. Both guys come forward. Both guys throw leather. Both guys do not care about defense. It's going down in Glendale, Arizona, which should have a very vibrant Mexican-American crowd. This is the good stuff. This is why we watch.
If you are not watching this, you are not a boxing fan. If you are more concerned about Regis Prograis versus Conor Benn, you are in the wrong business. This is the fight that you should be watching. This is gangbusters. It has to be an all-out total Mexican affair. I mean, war. This has war written all over it. These guys are brutal punchers. A lot on the line. It's in Glendale. I mean, forget it. This is it, baby.
My question here, though, is what does Navarrete have left? Because I've written this guy off before, and I have not. I've wondered where he's at in his career. I know he's in his early 30s, but he has had trouble making the weight. He's looked great at times. He's looked awful at times. He's been a part of some of the most controversial finishes. His fight against Charlie Suarez, the fight against Liam Wilson.
He's also looked awful and done great. Because sometimes he just looks bad, but he just performs well. The guy can punch, and he's something else. I've never seen someone fight like him and make
he's
it work.
He's a whirling dervish.
He does. Whirling dervish. Mexican whirling dervish.
He fights like the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah,
he throws punches from angles that shouldn't be thrown from. And I'm not even a technical boxing. Like, I just know, hey, that doesn't look right.
My concern, one, for being long in the tooth, even though he's not that old. He's only 31 years old, but he's had a long, hard career and taken a lot of damage and a lot of sparring sessions, a lot of camps. This is his 14th year as a pro. That's something that you shouldn't scoff at. Also, he's been inactive. And when he's inactive, he has trouble making weight. So you've got age, you've got weight, you've got wear and tear. All of those could play a factor in this fight. But all the good things you said about him, all the positives are still there. He's still that guy. Even when you count him out, he shows up. And Sugar is, I mean, how do you not like what you see? But I don't know how much of that. I don't know how much of a destructive puncher he is. You know, you look at his record and you're like, oh, dude, he's got 27 KOs in 29 fights. But, you know, goes the distance to Christopher Diaz, goes the distance to Rikashi, you know, his past two fights. You know, Mariaga's old, stops him. He doesn't have super high-level guys on his record where you can really measure up that power to see if it's real.
So, according to CompuBox, Navarrete's last five fights, he's throwing 58 punches around, landing 13 punches. That's pretty good. But his previous 12 fights, Navarrete was throwing 70, landing 22. So that is a big drop off over his last five fights to what we've seen with our eye. It's like, all right, he's not obviously you have the same output as you get older. I mean, Chocolatito is probably one of the only guys that kept that output into his late 30s. Mm-hmm. So Navarrete has gone down a little bit.
That was his whole style. Because he wasn't a puncher. Navarrete's a puncher.
Yeah, but like, there's two ways to look at it. Like, obviously, Navarrete's getting older, so he's changed his game plan. He's changed his just Father Time has taken its toll, and he's not throwing 70 punches around. We saw this from Pacquiao late in his career. He went from 70 to 45. When he fought you, Chris, he was throwing 45 punches around, but he was sitting down on those shots. He was making them. He was fighting different. He's fighting smarter. So I'd like to see what version of Navarrete comes out in this fight, because the thing about Nunes, though, Chris, is he gets hit. His opponents land 40% of their power shots. That is a really, really high number. Yeah, that's a lot. And Nunez can land, and he does have that in him. Like, he'll give you a few rounds with the 70, 80. You know, he might not be, you're not going to redline it every single round. I also don't think Nunez has faced anyone close to Navarrete's skill set, even if he is 31, 32 years old. Like you said, 14-year career. The odds are interesting. Navarrete is the underdog, plus 155. Nunes minus 200 favorite. I think it's going to go rounds. Navarrete by KO plus 380. Navarrete by decision plus 400. Nunes by decision plus 150.
Yeah, I'd lean Nunes. If I was going to put money on another result, it would be Navarrete by stoppage. I don't think Navarrete gets the decision, but it could happen. But I would definitely lean Nunez money line, but I'm not putting money on this, because it's there's too many question marks with Navarrete, because he's been inactive, he is older, definitely better competition, but I just feel like momentum wise Nunez is in the right place.
I got burned with Barrios. I think I'm taking the week off from betting.
Did you actually bet,
dude? I always put, whenever I put out a bet, I'm putting money on it.
Oh, wow. So, all right. So, everyone that's listening, Dan Canobio way. Don't bet on these fights. So, when you guys come at me for my picks, I'm like, well, I didn't tell you to bet. I didn't bet. I will tell you if I'm betting, which is very rare. I only bet when I am really sure.
That's the thing. If I'm going to put my name on a bet, I'm going to put my money on it, too.
I'm with you, dude. The only reason I give my picks is because you ask. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. No, we're always going to give our picks. Oh, Henry Garcia apologized.
Yeah, I saw that.
Kind of apologized. Half apology.
Whatever. I mean, he was out of order. He was definitely out of order. And
he goes, "I meant to insult you, but not that bad." That's what he said.
Well, I wasn't insulted at all. So how about that?
Neither was I. I found it amazing.
Yeah, that same. I thought it was great fodder for the people out there, and good hit for the pod.
It was great.
And what everyone else thinks about me, I really don't care. Especially
that's one thing. That's the difference between me and you.
Yeah, I don't care at all.
I care. I care too much. I'm probably not going to bet on this one, even though I think Navarrete plus money.
I know.
You see those guys, the Pointer Brothers on Instagram, where it's like, "Did you get beers tonight?" And they look at each other. It's like, I'm not going to bet on this fight. And they look at like, I might sprinkle some on Navarrete. Like, I don't remember last time he was plus money. Was maybe the first Valdez fight?
I lost my buddy a bunch of money on Isaac Dogbo Navarrete the first time.
Oh my god!
Because Dogbo was a beast, right? At the time, yeah. Do you remember that? And then Navarrete comes out of nowhere. He was like a Rafa Espinosa, like, oh, he's got the sterling record, but he doesn't really fight anybody, really know who he is. He kind of looks weird, whatever. And he goes out there and he beat the dog shit out of Isaac Dogbo. My friend will never let me down. He go, I know, he'll ask me, hey, who do you got this week? I'll say, he's like, oh, like Dogbo level? Or what are we talking about?
See, that's one other thing, too, is you give one bad piece of advice. You can win 10, 12 bets.
Yep.
Give one bad bet. Like, we might never live down the Barrios picks.
I've already lived that. I'm past it already. I've had so many wins on this show. So many wins. I don't care.
I'm definitely
also my bet was heavily influenced by the fact that Paulie was going so hard for Barrios not being a good fighter that I couldn't sit there and just let him talk and not go against him. I had to be like,
yeah, you had to stick up for the fighter.
I had to stick up for the fighter, but also I was waiting for that Monday morning content where I can go in and go, see? Because that's how me and Paulie are. We have to fight with him at about absolutely everything. Otherwise, what are we doing?
Yeah, so they're the odds. Good, really going to be an awesome fight. Going to be an awesome scene. Emiliano Vargas is on the card fighting Augustin Quintana. We got Abel Ramos. How about that? 10-rounder against Tamir Smalls. Arturo Cardenas versus Jordan Martinez. Over in Glendale, Arizona on regular DAZN, a unification bout at 130. Should be a good one. Talk about that on Monday. I'm headed up to Verona to call some fights. I'm looking forward to watching Carmel Moten. Kid's a beast. 19 years old fighting in a 10-rounder.
19 years old fighting in a 10-rounder. Damn.
And the guy he's fighting just upset Terrell Bostic, who I've called a bunch of fights.
Ah, who's he fighting?
Let's see.
I know Terrell Bostic. I used to spar with him. I mean, it doesn't matter, but...
I got it right here. He is fighting Wilfredo Flores.
Okay. My first 10-rounder, I was 20, but I was kickboxing. But yeah, it's pretty intense. 10 rounds.
I'm hoping they get this kid going because
I know he's
a prospect, but he's getting treated like the guys, the champions, where like, and not in terms of like publicity and stuff, but in terms of like fighting twice a year.
Part of that is his own fault. He blew that weight that time. That always makes everyone pump the brakes. You're like, all right, come on. Maybe you need to mature a little more before we start really putting you to a serious schedule. So it could be that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting up to Verona talking to him, calling the fights with Justin Goosen Brown and the Gibbons and all those guys. Tony Palmieri.
Yeah.
He's part of it. My guy, Tony.
I like Verona. I mean, I hate the snow that you run across when you are up there, but Verona's, that's cool. That's a cool little
area. Yeah, I'm going to be in a casino. It's like worst places to be where casino, at least you know you have food options.
Mm-hmm.
You got some decent entertainment. You got a bar.
It's a good casino.
You don't have to leave. You don't have to leave. No Ubers. Everything's centrally located. I'll take that.
I love a venue, a casino venue, because just like you said, you never have to leave. Like,
especially in the winter.
Well, yeah, especially in the winter.
All I got to do is just suck in and get my pants on.
Dude, you got to run the morning of the show. You got to sweat out a little bit.
Help.
You got to get that suit to fit. No, you just you got to just a little.
Bro, this is a suit supply. Like,
it's inflamed, dude. You gotta.
I spent a lot of money on this suit, and I just bought it. Like,
I don't understand. You don't drink beer, and you don't eat bread. How do you
gain weight? My metabolism, like, broke.
Ah, you're slowing down. You're getting old.
Because, 100%. Because, like, I've always been like, oh, Dan's skinny. Dan, you're so skinny. Like, girls would say, Dan, you're skinny. And I would hate that. And then, like, I was so focused the last 2 years. Yeah. I was so focused the last few years on bulking up, like, taking creatine. That could be a problem. I stopped taking the creatine because I was like, I don't need anymore.
Keep the creatine going. Keep the creatine going.
But then, yeah, I know it has other benefits other than working, like, for bulking up.
It's good for your brain.
Yeah, I honestly think... I think the metabolism finally, like the Kenobio metabolism, I guess, shuts down at 37, 38.
Yeah, I mean, there's a peak. There's a peak to everything, you know? You know what you got to do? Is you know what this means? Got to get you on the special sauce, man.
I love to do PEDs.
Got to get you on some Clomid. Get you on some...
Clenbuterol?
Clenbuterol. Get you on some... What else are these guys taking?
Diuretics?
No diuretics. No diuretics. We gotta get big. We got to get big and swole. What did Ryan fail for?
Osterine.
Get you on some Osterine. Get you on some Clomid. Get you on what was the other one that Janabek failed for? That crazy old 2010 Olympic.
he was taking the Quaaludes from like the '80s.
Yeah, we found the ludes.
He was on the heavy shit. All right, we'll be back Sunday with another episode recapping and probably some more news, more lawsuits, more PED talk.
Nobody sue us, please. Just don't. I mean,
we're good. We said everything.
We gave a disclaimer. We gave a disclaimer at the beginning of the show, so we're okay.
Big time disclaimer.
We should put a disclaimer at the beginning of every single show from now on, so we don't get sued.
The way boxing's going, it's becoming that. All right, everyone. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on Sunday. Have a great weekend. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs.